And we continue in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, Revelation 12. And we are still on lesson number 24. If you need lesson 24, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. Several here in the front. Good to have Sheila Click back from a vacation in the mountains. And praise the Lord, she's back. Fantastic week at the fair, 242 saved in the tent. That's a blessing. And are you? How did you folks do? A lot of people. Not a lot. I mean, it seemed down, but I heard people say it was up, so I don't know. But praise the Lord. A couple days were very, very slow. And it's funny how that goes. You just cannot predict it, really. But 242 saved, that's a blessing. And just, I felt like the Spirit was really good. It just, we had a lot of people come in that got saved years ago or got saved last year, either in the tent or at Vacation Bible School, and that's always exciting to see. And then a lot of our bus kids, a lot of folks that visit and that. So just had a great week, and like I say, good Spirit. I'm sure Kathy Morin is excited. And anyway, praise the Lord. Well, let's continue our study. We our memory verse, Revelation 12:1. Let's go ahead and say that together a couple of times. We'll say the reference and then the verse and then the reference again. And begin. Revelation 12:1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Revelation 12:1. And again, Revelation 12:1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Revelation 12:1. And Father, we thank you for the time we can spend studying your word. I pray to be profitable to each of us. I pray you'll show us some things that we need to know and things maybe we didn't know before. And then I pray that you'll challenge us certainly with the word of God. Thank you again that you provided it for us and your Holy Spirit to guide us. And we pray that you'll do that in Jesus' name. Amen. We talked about four symbolic women in Revelation, the suffering woman here in Revelation 12, the sinful woman, the harlot of Revelation 17, the shameless woman, the queen of Revelation 18, the spiritual woman, the bride of Revelation 19, and specifically the woman of Revelation 12, the suffering woman that we talked about, number one, Roman numeral one, the history of the woman. We see very clearly is Israel, or we could say the elect of God, and then Roman numeral number two, the hatred for the woman, Revelation 12:2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. So Israel, of course, the promise of God to bring enmity to between the woman. Her seed and Satan, obviously, after that promise, Satan's attack on Israel was very evident and very evident in the Old Testament. You study your Bible, you see Israel under attack over and over and over again. And people lying about Israel, people going after Israel, and it just seems like this is strange. Why would anybody even care about Israel? But in light of the Bible, we see that's the war. You know, this is God's promise to the serpent as far as the curse and the curse on Satan that the woman would bring forth the Messiah. And so we knew the Messiah would come from Israel. And, you know, here again, you know, little Israel, and Satan did everything he could to stop it. He couldn't stop it. He can't stop God. And we need to remember that in our own lives. Satan can never stop God. It's not going to happen. It never has happened, and it will not happen. And so then the birth of the child takes place, and the hatred continues. The hatred, as we read of Herod and trying to kill all the little baby boys, and just all of that Of course, again, God's plan would not be thwarted by Satan. And but again, this hatred for the woman, very, very clear. Prophecy, verse 4, or the scripture, verse 4, the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born, but it did not happen. And verse 5, she brought forth a man-child. We know that to be Jesus, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the hatred, though, and then the hatred afterwards. We read several examples of history. Of course, the most familiar probably to all of us is Nazi Germany under Adolf Hitler and the persecution during what is called the Holocaust. That is, again, such an amazing, amazing thing of history and a fact, you know. We have a lot of people that they want to talk about, well, here's what I think, here's what, well, this is a fact. The Holocaust did, in fact, take place. By the way, the Inquisition did, in fact, take place under Roman Catholicism, and the Inquisition, many, many Jews died during that time as well. But a fact, World War II, 6 million Jews died in the death camps. That is just, it's hard even to imagine that taking place. And again, it comes back to where we need to ask that question. This is too many people to think it's just an accident. It's just too phenomenal. The little nation of Israel, so hated by mankind, so hated by Nazi Germany, so hated by so many over the years. And again, you know, it has to go back to the prophecy of the Word of God. And so we can't just ignore that. We can't just say, oh, it's just a coincidence. But on the other side of that, we cannot say it's a coincidence that God has protected his people. And that is as clear as anything in history. Here's little Israel. Get a map sometime and look at Israel on a map and notice how they are completely surrounded by enemies on every side, including from within. And Satan has put himself in a position to strike at Israel over and over and over again. And this persecution, again, why? Well, because Satan hates God's people. And I submit to you that it is certainly true of Israel, and that is represented in the Scripture, but it's going to be true and is true of any of God's people. You know, any of God's people. It is true of us. It is true of Christians. Though we do not see it, we kind of have our head in the sand today, if you will. It is happening to us. It is happening to Christians in other countries. Persecution that is unbelievable persecution. You don't hear much about it because the news people don't think that's that important. But I'm telling you, it is happening, and I promise you, when God allows it, it will happen here with a vengeance. Why does Satan hate God's people so much? Well, obviously, as far as the Jews, God's word came through the Jews. We know that, and Satan hates God's word. There is absolutely no question about that. And God's word came through the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews, the Bible says in John 4, and verse 22. The Messiah, of course, that was promised in the Old Testament to the Jews was provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan absolutely hates that. What went on at the fair during this week, the gospel going out, Satan hated it. I found it interesting this year, probably the first year since we've been away from the grandstand. The tent used to be at the grandstand, right next to the grandstand, and so there was always a lot of noise, be it music or be it you know, the demolition and all that. Demolition derbies are not quiet, I can tell you. But this year, for they moved this one ride right at the corner of the tent, and I mean they must not have had a base control because I mean it was just constantly, and I kind of smiled just thinking Satan doesn't like it. He does not like what we're doing, and again, everything that God does to get the gospel out, Satan's going to fight it. He's going to fight it. And so salvation is very precious to God. It is very hated by Satan. Satan can keep people in chains until they get saved. Satan can control somebody's life until they get saved. I mean, even to the point that, I'm okay. Somebody who thinks they're okay and they're not okay, whether they think it or not. And so Satan hates the fact that salvation is of the Jews. Satan hates the fact that God's gifts to man came through the Jews. Adoption to be his children, the Shekinah glory of God, the filling of the Holy Spirit, all these different things. The covenants given to Abraham and passed on to all the elect. I mean, those are all blessings. God says he'll bless Israel, but he'll also bless those who bless Israel. And you look at America, and America has certainly been blessed of God. There is no question about that as we look at our country. And so again, the promises, the promise of heaven. What keeps us going sometimes? It's that promise of eternal life. He would love to Satan would love to take that away. And for many Christians, sad to say, we kind of forget about that sometimes. We get to feeling sorry for ourselves. We get to woe is me. But we have eternal life. We're not waiting for eternal life. We have eternal life. When you get saved, that is the life that you have. And so praise the Lord, Satan hates that. He hates God's grace, He hates God's grace. And every gift that God gives to us is completely by the grace of God. It has absolutely nothing to do with ourselves. And then, of course, Satan stirs up people against the elect, stirred up the Catholics, the Christians. I say that in quotes in the past, and good night. They got stirred up in the past with the Crusades and massacred Christian people, and massacred the Jews, stirred up people that the Jews, blaming the Jews for killing Jesus. Look, if you will, Acts 2, verse 22. Acts 2, 22. That's all the Jews' fault. Acts 2 and verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. But again, let's be reminded that that was all based on the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And, to blame anybody, and we live in a blaming society that just, everything, if something's going wrong, I'm going to find somebody to blame. Oh, it could never be my own fault. I'm going to find somebody. I'm going to find a scapegoat. And certainly the Jews have been the scapegoat for all kinds of things. And obviously that is passing on to Christians. We're getting blamed for so many things. The right wingers, and which not all right wingers are Christians. And certainly not all Christians are right wingers. But especially, those fundamental Baptists. And I'll tell you, it is just such a scary day we live in when you are not only a Christian, but you are a conservative Christian, just to read some of the things that are said. And then, of course, Satan stirs up Israel's enemies The Arabs have just always been stirred up, and now they're flexing their muscles in a very real way. And I'm telling you, it is a scary world we live in. The hatred of God's people. But again, you know, when the worst part of it takes place, I believe with all my heart we will be gone. Praise the Lord. We will be gone. That's not to say it won't be bad. It's not to say it's not bad for many Christians today. I'm just saying what I believe. I don't know it all to be true. I just believe that we will be gone. And so Israel, she brought forth the child, the man-child, and there was more hatred spewed forth by Satan. Verse 6, the woman fled, and more hatred during the tribulation. It will be unbelievable, the hatred toward the Jews. At the middle of the tribulation, the last 3.5 years will be great tribulation for the Jews, especially as they are persecuted in an unbelievable way. Verse 13, and we'll cover these verses later on in more depth. But when the dragon saw he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman. Here, the dragon, representing Satan, Satan himself persecutes the woman which brought forth the man-child. This is during, I believe, the second half, especially, of the tribulation, and the persecution will be unbelievable. Verse 15, the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And verse 17 says, the dragon was wroth with the woman. During the tribulation will be the greatest persecution ever. Again, if we can imagine the examples in history that I gave of the millions of Jews that were slaughtered, massacred for no reason, no apparent reason, just because they are Jews, just because of how they were born, or just because of what they believed. Understand, as bad as history proves that it was, it will be worse during the tribulation. It will be worse toward the Jews during the tribulation. Anyone who gets saved during the tribulation, it will be unbelievable persecution. Honestly, there won't be any half-in, half-out Christians during that time. You're going to have to take your stand. Yeah, it's very frustrating today to watch Christians not take a stand. It's very frustrating today where Christians can, you know, well, we don't have to say anything. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to, in that day, you're going to be put to the test. And, you know, we've all seen the Left Behind, you know, something. Well, we haven't all seen it, maybe read the book or heard about it and all that and everything. But you have to understand, folks, you will be put, you won't, but the question will be, hey, do you believe Jesus Christ? I mean, we're going back to Inquisition-type days. We're going back to Holocaust-type days. We're talking about people having their heads cut off. We're talking about persecution like mankind has never seen before. And it will be aimed right at the Jews, and it will involve anyone who is a child of God or a believer. And there won't be any waffling on your position. There's not going to be this idea, you know, well, you know, I don't have to let anybody in. There won't be any secret agent Christians, because I'm telling you, it will be unbelievable persecution. And, you know, God only allows so much, but he certainly is allowing that, because that is his will. As stated, Daniel 9 and verse 24, let's just go back and look at that one more time. I think one more time I say that, and then we go back again. But Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24, we talked about it years ago when we studied the book of Daniel. 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. See it? To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision of the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. 70 weeks determined, and 69 of those weeks are gone. We're waiting on that last seven-year period, heptad. We talked about that in Revelation and in Daniel. And that last week is severe captivity, if you will, going back to an Old Testament term, severe tribulation, especially for the Jews. Verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, that's that last, that 70th heptad, that last 70th period of seven years, he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, because he's a liar, because he's a deceiver, because he cannot keep his word. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And that determined is the persecution, the trials, the judgment of God. And it is going to be a terrible, terrible time that lasts 3.5 years. But, Roman numeral 3, the help for the woman. I don't know if anybody's ever hated you before. I don't know if anybody's ever said they hated you. And especially when you have no idea why they hate you, try to imagine that kind of hatred toward the Jews. Now, we're only seeing it because we can look back at history and see it as far as the Jews. In other countries, it is that way just because somebody says, I'm a Christian. In other countries, certainly a lot of third world countries, people that are, well, I say third world, but it's really any communistic country. Somebody says, I'm a Christian. They start a church. There's a hatred. And we ask ourselves, and again, I don't know if anybody here has ever been hated just because of your stand, because of your belief. I mean, you're hated. I'm not talking about a belief that it's okay to murder people. I'm not talking about a belief that it's okay to abuse people. I'm not talking about that kind of. I'm talking about our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and our belief in bringing people in and going out to people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're hated. And you say, why would we be hated? Well, again, this is going to be the thinking and has been and is for God's people and will be during the tribulation time. Why am I so hated? Revelation 12, verse 6, I can only liken it maybe to a parent who has heard those words, stinging words, come from a child. And the parents say, I don't know why you would hate me. A brother maybe, a sister, a relative, a husband, a wife. How could you possibly hate me? I've done nothing. I would never do anything to hurt you. Again, it's a difficult thing. But Roman numeral 3, certainly there is help for the woman. And God obviously allows all this. But the woman, verse 6, fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God. And I love that, a place prepared of God. And so after the covenant, the treaty, if you will, with the Antichrist, after that's broken, what I call the second half of the tribulation, that I believe the Bible says that the woman flees into the wilderness and she has a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. Again, there is our 3.5 years or our time times and half a time. And we've seen that referred to several times over and over again. And 42 months, different ways that has been shown to us. But the thing that stands out to me is it's a place prepared. God has a place prepared. Now, some say that's Petra. How many of you have heard that before? Petra. All right, many have. The rose-red city that it was carved out of stone. And it could very well be Petra. It could very well be. I mean, that Certainly, years ago when that city was carved out, I mean, you know, there could not be a better protected fortress-type place than Petra. It is hard to imagine the missiles of mankind, the bombs of mankind. Obviously, back when Petra was carved out, they didn't know anything about bombers flying over or missiles being guided. I don't know. But God is going to take care of his people. There is a place prepared. God takes care of his people. And I love the fact that it says it's a place prepared, because to me, that tells me that it's been prepared because God knew what was coming. Now, folks, listen to me. He knows what's coming in our lives as well. And he has a place prepared. He has it all taken care of. Our future trials, our future problems. As we watch the country turn more and more to the left, and we watch the country turn more and more against what we believe, understand God has a place prepared. He has it all under control. Verse 14 says this, "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle." Now, to me, this is something extraordinary. This is not just God providing a way to escape. This is extraordinary. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to even speculate on that. But somehow, there's something extraordinary here. Two wings of an eagle. Okay? And it's kind of like when the Jews were able to escape from Egypt. You know, that was a miraculous deliverance. And I think it's going to be something like that. Exodus 19 and verse 4. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. Again, I try to think about all this, and I hope you do. I hope through the week you ponder some of these things, maybe study ahead and look at the scripture that we're reading and go over it in your own mind. The Bible does not say any more than, the two wings is of an eagle. But Exodus 19, verse 4, that illustration or that example, metaphor, if you will, is used. "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." God said, "I protected you. I bore you on eagle's wings." Now, we know that there wasn't some super giant eagle that they all went on. But we see that it's a metaphor for something extraordinary, something amazing taking place. I don't know about you, but to me, one of the most extraordinary stories in all the Bible is the deliverance of God's people from Pharaoh in Egypt. That is, to me, one of the most amazing stories in all the Bible. Let's go ahead and have our ushers come, if they would, and collect the offering, and that'll be good. I'll just go on. But, really, when I think about the children of Israel escaping, and how it all took place. Have you ever thought about the darkness? You remember the darkness? And 3 days and three nights of darkness you could feel, the Bible says. Isn't it amazing that during that time, God didn't just say, okay, to his people, just say, go ahead and sneak out. They can't see anyway. Egypt doesn't, they won't know. But God, that isn't the way God did it. God did it exactly the way God chose to do it. He wanted everybody to know that he is God. He wanted his people to know that he's God. I think of the miraculous ways God takes care of us. And certainly whatever happens during the tribulation, we can speculate different ways and different things. But somehow, miraculously, the people are, many of them are delivered. In verse 15, "The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman." Again, is this really a flood? Don't know. Or is it a metaphor like the eagle's wings? I'm not sure. It says, he cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Certainly, there are things that could happen like that. Again, is this a metaphor? The Bible does not say. Maybe God doesn't want Satan to know what he's going to do, you know? It's hard to say. I don't know. Flood often in Scripture refers to an army. We know, there is no doubt about the fact that the armies of Islam are surrounding Israel. And that certainly could take place. So is it a great army, a huge army that will come? I don't know. Bible does not say. Is it political? Is it the mark of the beast and all that's involved in that? Is that the great flood that is going, kind of like Haman with the just the foolish signing of a law that would destroy all the Jews? You know, is it some kind of a thing like that? Don't know. Luke 21, verse 20 is, and there are other verses too that we can point to and kind of think through it. Luke 21, verse 20. Again, we don't know when this is going to take place, so who knows what all will be available at that time. Luke 21 and verse 20, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And so surrounded by armies, again, is that military? Obviously, that would seem to be. Is it a political reaction? Is it a mark of the beast reaction? Again, we do not know. But we do know this, and I love this, verse 16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Now, first thought would be this huge flood coming through, you know, a tsunami. And then God sending an earthquake and opening up the ground and all the water before it reaches. Again, that would be our thought. But is this a metaphor? You know, how could the earth help? And I've thought about that and just kind of wonder about it. Is a great earthquake? Armies are ready to invade, great earthquake, don't know. Is it just the geography? Could it be that the people do all flee to Petra, and the very geography of this fortress built within the mountains is protecting them? And don't know. It is something that the main thing out of the whole thing, though, is this. God helps. God takes care of it. And so, whatever it is, again, many, many certainly will not make it, and we understand that, but God helps his people, and God helps us. You know, how many times has God caused the earth to swallow up the flood that's about to take us down, sweep us off? You know, how many times has God provided the means to literally stop whatever it is Satan is doing to you? And God can do it, and he will do it. And certainly, we've seen him do that over and over again. Father, thank you for the time that we could study your word, and I pray it's been profitable to everyone here. I would ask you again that your Holy Spirit would just teach us and guide us into the truth that we've heard today, and I pray we'd apply it to our lives, though we certainly don't see the persecution personally. Help us, Lord, not to bury our heads in the sand that it's not happening, because it is happening. It's happening all over our world. And though Satan hates us, we're so thankful we have a God who loves us and loves us so much that you would provide your son to die for us. Thank you for that love, and help us to love you and serve you, I pray in Jesus' name.